Today we continue our series entitled, He Is. He is. We're playing off of those I am statements. Jesus makes seven I am statements. Direct declaration that He is the Messiah here in the Gospel of John. Two of the seven are in today's passage. John chapter 10 verses 1 through 11. Today Jesus will tell us, I am the door of the sheep and I am the good shepherd. Now what does that mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. We're going to talk about that today. John chapter 10. Let's go ahead and dive into the scripture together, starting in verse number 1. John chapter 10 verse 1 says this. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Hey, it's a good question. Do you know the voice of the Lord Jesus today? That's part of the proof of our salvation, isn't it? That we know intimately the voice of the Lord and we follow his direction. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and the daughters of God, it says in Romans chapter 8. It's not just religious performance. It's not just trying to be a good person. It's through this shepherd-sheep relationship, this intimate connection to our shepherd. In verse 5, it says, a stranger they won't follow, but they'll flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they didn't get it. You ever have times where you feel like you don't get it? Come on now. They're not getting it. By the way, he's talking to the Pharisees and the scribes here, not the disciples. So we'll talk about that context in just a moment. So verse 7, what does Jesus do? He leans into the figure of speech. And he says, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and are robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He'll go in and out and find pasture. And the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Right before this, John chapter 9, we're not going to preach on that passage in this series, but it's a very significant passage. John chapter 9, Jesus, the disciples, they are at the Feast of Booths. It's one of the three pilgrimage festivals of the Jewish people. And here they are, Jerusalem, crawling full of people. And this man who has been born blind, Jesus heals him. And now, it's interesting. Dr. Arnold Frichtenbaum, right? Frichtenbaum, Hebrew name, right? So Hebrew scholar, rabbi, messianic pastor and scholar. He is the starter or started a ministry called Ariel Ministries. He wrote on this and said that Hebrew tradition, rabbinical tradition throughout history, classifies miracles in two ways. General miracles and messianic miracles. And this miracle of Jesus in John chapter 9 is one of three messianic miracles according to Hebrew tradition. This is interesting. And messianic miracles are those miracles that rabbis throughout the years said only the Messiah could do this, right? And so what were those three miracles? By the way, I got any Bible scholars in the room? Come on now. None. Okay, we're going to help you with that. We're going to bring you into that today. You ought to write this down because this just, in my study of this over the past few weeks, this has just come alive. Just so many interesting details that I had missed in the past. And I'm a pastor with a doctorate, guys, and I had missed some of this stuff. And so, messianic miracles, what were they? Okay, number one, the healing of the leper. I don't know if you realize this or not, but there had not been a leper healed in Hebrew life since the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. No record of a Hebrew being healed. Now, Naaman, a Gentile, was healed of leprosy in the Old Testament. Miriam, right, sister of Moses, was healed of leprosy. That was before the law came. And so Hebrew rabbis said, man, the healing of a leper would be something only the Messiah could do. And so when Jesus healed the leper, they said, man, that's a messianic miracle. The crowds began to call him the great prophet that Moses had referred to, the Messiah who was to come. Second messianic miracle was the healing, or casting out, I should say, of a mute demon. According to Hebrew tradition, exorcism, whenever they performed an exorcism, they would ask for the name of the demon. Do you remember this with Jesus and the Gerasene demoniac, Mark chapter 5? He asked him, the demon, he says, what is your name? And the demon says, we are legion because we are many. And he cast those demons out into those pigs and they ran down the hill, right? And so Hebrew tradition says you got to know the name of the demon in order to call it out and cast it out. Well, only the Messiah could cast out a demon through a mute person, a mute demon, where he couldn't get that name. And so when he did that, it was like this billboard just flashing saying, Messiah, Messiah, Messiah. And then John chapter 9, the healing of the man born blind was another one. And think about it. If this guy was never previously had eyesight, then Jesus created something from nothing in that. And so he created ex nihilo. In other words, by bringing eyesight to this man, he spoke something into existence that had never been in existence in his life. And by the way, isn't it interesting? I always wondered, why does he take mud, right, and spit in it? Well, man, he's taking us back to Genesis. He's the creator, right? He's taking us back where he took the dust of the ground and he formed Adam from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And so by him in John 9, and I encourage you, if you hadn't read it, go back and read it this past week, or this next week, I should say. He takes mud and he spits in it and he puts that mud on his eyes. Robbie Gallaty, pastor of Long Hollow Baptist in Hendersonville, in his book called The Forgotten Jesus. By the way, write that down. Incredible book that you ought to check out. The Forgotten Jesus by Pastor Robbie Gallaty. In the book, he talks about that messianic miracle, the man who was born blind, who was healed. And I don't know if you realize this or not, but from where he was to the pool of Siloam, where Jesus told him to go and wash, was a half a mile away. So he tells this blind guy who has mud falling off of his eyes to wander through the Feast of Booths crowd in Jerusalem for a half a mile to go and wash. And so essentially what Jesus did was he sent another flashing billboard sign right through all of the crowds saying, hey, I am the one and true and only Messiah. And so it was a messianic miracle here. So now the crowds are saying the Messiah, the King has come, but yet they had this idea of someone who would come and rescue them from Roman oppression. They were looking for a conquering military style king. Well, that's what Jesus is going to do when he comes again. Come on, somebody, aren't you glad for that today? When he comes again, he's going to be that. But the first time he came, Isaiah 53, they had missed the prophecy, and that one of many in the Old Testament. Hey, he's first got to be what? The suffering servant. First, we must be rid of or rescued from the tyranny of sin before we are rescued from the tyranny of the physical oppression of sin and of brokenness in our world. And so now all that backdrop, the crowd is like, Messiah, man, Messiah. And they're worshiping him and claiming that he is the Son of God. So now John chapter 10, the Pharisees and the religious leaders, Jesus is starting to take their platform. He's starting to take their power and their prestige and their influence. He's speaking against all their legalism and all the traditions and the things that they were using to cast people aside, not to bring them in to the grace and knowledge of God. And so in John chapter 10, the Pharisees now are on full-on attack mode. And Jesus engages them here and he continues to speak to the fact that he is the Messiah. And he gives this imagery that was very, very familiar to the Hebrew people. Shepherd, I am the good shepherd. I'm the door of the sheep. Whenever the people of Israel heard the shepherd, that term that he is the shepherd, they thought back, right, to the great patriarchs of old. I mean, think about it. Jacob, right, whose name was changed to Israel, and 12 sons became the 12 tribes. Jacob was a shepherd. You think about Moses. Before Moses was the great deliverer of Israel, it says that he was a shepherd for 40 years in the wilderness. A shepherd. King David, right? That's the big one we think about. Jesus, the Messiah, coming from the messianic line of David, the lineage of King David. And David was this shepherd who laid down his life, who was willing to lay down his life for the sheep. Man, the bear and the lion came, and I killed them, right, to protect the sheep. What a beautiful picture of how God protects us. And so whenever they hear shepherd, they think about the religious and political leadership of the nation, don't they? And they think about the Messiah. And in fact, Ezekiel chapter 34, listen to this. In Ezekiel 34, the Lord says this. He's speaking to the shepherds of Israel and how they weren't being the leaders, the godly leaders that he had called them to be. But it says in Ezekiel 34, the Lord says, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. And I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. Psalm 23, what did David say there? Who is his shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. And so here Jesus plays upon all of that and he says, I am the good shepherd. I am the door of the sheep. Now, in and around Israel, they had all the dozens, hundreds of these little small enclosures where shepherds would come. Like if it's in the city, it would be a little bit bigger, and multiple shepherds would all bring their sheep and would put them inside this enclosure. And there would be an attendant there who was the gatekeeper of that enclosure so that they could go and attend to some business, say in Jerusalem. Multiple shepherds would all leave their sheep together in one type of pen together. Okay, and you see a picture there. This is a sheepfold that would have been seen out on the countryside. These are dotted all over the Israeli landscape. And this is a small enclosure where only one shepherd would come and have just his flock within that one enclosure. And so what's the picture here? When Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, the gatekeeper only opens for the true shepherd, and it's only, you know, the true shepherd whom the sheep will follow out. We're told that sheep know the voice of their shepherd and literally shepherds would walk into that enclosure and would call out their own sheep, and only their sheep would come out and follow them because they only knew the sound of their voice, their shepherd's voice. So Jesus, the good shepherd, he's the door of the sheep. Shepherds, right there, that little opening in that little stone wall. In that opening, historians tell us that shepherds would serve as the door to that enclosure. So in other words, they would sit there and on occasion sleep all night long in order to keep predators out and keep the sheep from also wandering out. Nothing got in and nobody got out. And church, what is Jesus saying today? He's saying first and foremost, I am the anointed one. I am the Messiah. It's not Buddha. It's not Confucius. It's not Muhammad. It's not Joseph Smith. It's not Mary Baker Eddy. It's none of those. Ultimately, I am the anointed one. Can I get an amen on that today? He is the one and true Messiah, the only one who can save us, the only one who can give us peace and joy in this life. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. He is the one and true and only living God, the only good shepherd. But also here, him being the door of the sheep. Whenever we trust in Jesus, listen to me, this is good. As we see, let's go back to that imagery, guys. As we see that enclosure. Yeah, let's go back to, there you go, that enclosure. Whenever we trust in Jesus, y'all with me today? Somebody gonna take a lap on this. I'm telling you, this is good stuff. You ready? There is an impenetrable wall of grace around your life when you know and trust in Jesus. Listen, the devil may lurk around that wall, but the devil can't get in the enclosure. He can't come in and mess up or change that relationship that I have with Jesus. And not only that, listen to me, He won't let us wander out. Aren't you glad today that God won't let us stray for long? That He keeps us in Himself. He takes us in and out by His leadership to green pastures. And yes, there are times out in the pasture of life that we find ourselves in a ditch. But aren't you glad we serve the God who leaves the 99 to go get the one? Come on, somebody. Isn't that good news? Listen, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation. Purchase of God. Born of His Spirit. Washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior. Right? All the day long. Blessed assurance. It's a beautiful picture of the assurance that we have in Christ. In fact, if you go on to read at the end of this chapter, this is the same chapter where Jesus says that when we are in Him, when His sheep, His children are in Christ, and He is in God, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. Isn't that interesting? He's still playing upon that picture of our salvation. Him, the door of the sheep, the good shepherd who calls us out to greener pastures. Our Father, great Father, being the gatekeeper, if you will, and you think about those larger enclosures in the city. He's the gatekeeper of eternal life. We don't get to decide who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. Only God does that. And it's only through Jesus. It's only as we go through Him as the door of the sheep and follow Him out in our life as the good shepherd that we have blessed assurance. Today, do you have the assurance of your salvation? Do you know for sure that you are in Christ? Do you have that intimate relationship with Him? Where you know His voice and He hears your voice continually through prayer and just connection to Him and worship. Do you have that relationship with Jesus? And when we do, oh, the joy, right? Oh, the joy we share, right? As we tarry there, none other, remember that song too? Has ever known. He walks with me, talks with me. That's what He does. Do you have that kind of relationship with Jesus? That's what. Listen to me. That's what it means to be saved, to be born again, to be a child of God. It's not church attendance. It's not religious performance. It's not taking communion. That's not where your salvation is. It's not just getting baptized. It's not all those religious things. It's heart, life, submission to Jesus, connection to Him, and following His leadership as our shepherd. In this passage, we see in this imagery of Him as the good shepherd and the door of the sheep what He does for us. Okay? First of all, we see Jesus protects His flock. Aren't you grateful today for the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Nothing gets in and we can't get out, man. What a beautiful picture of salvation. He who began a good work in you will complete it. We're His workmanship. And so He protects His flock. What does He protect us from? Number one, He protects us from religion. Right? We see in this passage. So, why did He have such a hard time with the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious leaders? Because they were using the law of God to cast people out of the kingdom. Instead of taking the commands of God to draw people into it, into the grace of God. Yes, we fall short of God's law and His standard. But aren't you grateful that Jesus went to the cross for us and He paid that debt we owe to God. And now He invites us into a loving relationship with Him. And so today, if religion has told you you don't measure up, you're not fit, you're not good enough, you're not holy enough, you don't look the part or play the part, I got good news today, man. You are number one candidate for salvation today, man, in Jesus. Now, He loves you right where you are and He doesn't want to leave you where you are. He meets us right there. Calls us out to greener pastures. So He protects us from religion. Secondly, He protects us from rebellion. Many of the people here in Jesus' time, when he was on this earth, many of the Jewish people believed, right, that the Messiah was coming first as a conquering king, that he was coming to overthrow Rome and take over, and that's not what he initially came to do. And by the way, are you listening? That's not the call on our life. He said, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him take up his cross daily. Follow after me. The Christian life is dying to self every single day. Meekness is not weakness, it's power under control. So as we follow the leading of the Spirit of God and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, He calls us to a life of humility. Yes, a life of boldness, speaking the truth in this culture, but yet a life of sacrifice and of humility, not of pride and rebellion. And so He speaks to that here. He said, those who came before me, there were many who had claimed that they were the leaders of Israel and come follow me. Zealots, they were referred to back in New Testament days, and they were zealous for the overthrowing of Rome. They wanted, complete and total autonomy for the people of Israel. It wasn't about God's kingdom, it was about their own kingdom. And that's not the life that God calls us to. Listen, He protects us from religion, rebellion, but thirdly, He protects us from ruin. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that our salvation is kept by the Lord Jesus Christ? It's not kept by our power or our performance. It's kept by the grace of God. He protects us from religion. He protects us from rebellion. And He protects us from ruin. Ruin. But not only does He protect us, He also leads us, doesn't He? The Good Shepherd. My sheep know me and they know my voice. They won't follow the ways of this world, the thought processes and supposed wisdom and decision-making strategies or schemes of this world. Oh, He leads His flock. How does He lead us? He leads us by His voice, doesn't He, church? So He tells us here, He leads us by His voice. He speaks and we follow. That is the Christian life. As I open the Word of God, it's not just words on a page. The Spirit of God speaks into my life and takes the Word of God and does work in my heart with it. He leads us by His voice. Secondly, He leads us through His victory. Whose victory? It says here that He calls His own out. The words in the original language literally mean that He has kicked out an invading enemy. It's the expulsion of an enemy trying to invade. And so what He's saying is that He brings us into the fold, but He also kicks all the predators out and the wolves out. Aren't you grateful today that through the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus, the devil has to flee? Come on, somebody. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but He came to give us life, Jesus did. So we have life in Him. Oh, He leads us by His voice, through His victory, but then lastly, according to His vision. Who knows where the greener pastures are, the sheep or the shepherd? Now, let's go ahead and own this. We're all sheep today. It means we're stupid. Y'all okay with that? Let's just own it. Sheep are some of the dumbest animals. Some of the dumbest livestock that's ever been created by God Himself. And so when He uses this term sheep, it's not devaluing us or degrading His children. What He's saying is that on our own, we are prone to wander, aren't we? But aren't you grateful for our shepherd? Who's the one that leads us to greener pastures? It's Jesus. It's the Good Shepherd. Trust His vision today. Trust His vision. Trust in His plan. Trust in the Lord today. I don't know what you're walking through, and you may think, man, this pasture stinks. Man, there's not a whole lot of green grass here. And God's saying, just move to the left just a little bit over here. Hey, let's come right over here to this field. Well, God, I don't know, I don't know that's where I want to be. Moving to that field's not comfortable. It's not easy. It doesn't make sense in my mind. And He's saying, listen, you got to trust my vision. I'm the shepherd. I see and know where all the greener pastures are. The greenest pasture there is always in the will of God. Always in the will of God. And Jesus makes that famous statement here, and we'll finish with this. He says, I have come to give you life, and that abundantly. Whenever you hear that phrase, this is the life. You ever said that before? Been on vacation or, you know, at some event that you enjoy, some concert, some sporting event, or you're on the beach or up in the mountains or, you know, you name it, right? On a golf course somewhere, out on the lake. You ever said that before or heard somebody say that? Right, man, this is the life right here. Friends, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. All those other things of this life are just temporary. There may be momentary peace or pleasure, or so we think, in those things. But ultimately, when we find our hope in the stuff of this life, we're left broken, hurting, discontented, no peace in our heart, no enduring joy or hope in our life. Jesus said, listen, just follow my voice. Follow me. Because I've come to give you life in that, in abundance. So today, do you know Jesus? Is He your good shepherd? Or is He just someone you're acquainted with, some kind of good teacher, or someone you're trying to appease through good living or performance of some kind or religious things? Is He just someone you are acquainted with, or do you have a personal, intimate relationship with the shepherd? And if you do, children of God, listen, we're protected, we're provided for, we have peace and strength and joy in Christ. Man, that's where the joy is. It's in the enclosure, man, with Him. Why would I want to wander out alone in this world, chasing after all the things that this world says gives hope or peace or joy? Man, there is no life in any of that.